Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs, episode 11. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And it's July. And we just want to thank, first of all, the healthcare workers and the frontline workers that are basically doing what they do and trying to help us all get through this whole COVID crisis. And I didn't think I'd be talking about hockey in July, really, but I actually thought I'd be sitting by a lake right now. And considering it's June 30th, you know, one day before Canada Day, that, I don't know, it just, I'm excited to talk about hockey, but at the same time, it's kind of like, wow, I don't know, like, it's we're in our first year of doing the show, and I actually thought that this would be our month off, but,
but that's obviously hilarious.
Not. Yeah,
well, sort of, you know, thing. I guess, talking Leafs in July, whatever form it takes, is never a bad thing. So, guess.
Kudos to us, though, because we actually, considering it is our first year, like, we are proving to everyone that we can talk about the Leafs forever if we need to.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with giving ourselves kudos for that. I think that's a good thing. So, I guess, you know, like you just mentioned, tomorrow is July 1st. So we want to wish everybody a very happy Canada Day. Obviously, this year is going to be a little different, and people are probably going to be celebrating in their smaller bubbles, and you probably won't see the, like, bigger fireworks displays like we normally do. And seeing as that it is Canada Day, lends itself to thinking of, what we are thankful for in our country. And one of the things that represents our country is our national anthem. And that's something that's kind of come up a little bit lately it's come up, you know, periodically every now and then as to whether or not the national anthem should be played before sports events. What do you think about that, Christine? Do you think that the national anthem should be played before sporting events?
I for sure think it should be. I mean, I'm tradition, obviously. I'm for tradition.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it just wouldn't be the same. Could you imagine you go to Scotiabank Arena, you get your Diet Coke or whatever you get, and then you just go sit down and then they drop the puck? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I do get that. I'm sure you're not surprised that I'm probably a little bit more, you know, I could give or take it. But I do know that when it's a special event, so like during the playoffs in particular, or opening night, there are certain events where it does add and lend to the emotion of the night, especially when you're there. Like, I could see people who are watching on TV, they don't really need to see the anthem. It's not a big deal for them. But when you're there, especially because hockey is our game, I do get a little emotional.
Well, it's funny because that's what I said and I saw it on Facebook. Somebody had asked this question, actually.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I said, Scotiabank Arena is pretty quiet with the exception of when they play the national anthem. That's right. Probably right after the national anthem is probably the loudest that arena gets during the regular season.
Yeah.
That's it. That's everything. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know. To me, I just think it's what's the big deal to stand for a few minutes to basically honor the country that's given you everything, sort of thing, right? And I'm for tradition, so I would just think it would be very odd to. I mean, some people were saying, "Oh, well, they see a lot of people looking at their phones during the national anthem." I don't see that.
I actually don't see that often.
No. Sort of thing,
maybe,
right?
Maybe these people sit in the Platinums, in which case those people are on their phones all night, every night, all the way through the game too. So they're not actually watching the game. listening to the anthem, singing, participating, period. So I guess it all depends on where you sit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
anyway, I'm sure everybody has their opinion, but that was, mm-hmm. we just wanted to put it out there since it is Canada Day. It's something that kind of relates to the, mm-hmm. to the day tomorrow. We hope everyone has a good one, however you're celebrating, with the social distancing, having a barbecue with your close family or friends. So
everyone needs to still keep those safeguards in mind and have fun.
Yeah.
Still have fun and play safe.
Yeah.
So I guess next thing, do we want to talk? Let's talk about the Leafs, because that's what this is called. Ladies Talking Leafs. So we do have some Leaf events of note in July. We're going to cover some birthdays. There's actually not a lot of, you know, Leaf roster birthdays. In fact, one could argue that none of these actually are quote unquote Leaf roster, because one of these players in particular may not be a Leaf for much longer. he's actually lucky that this COVID thing happened, because he's now still a Leaf for the unforeseen future. Anyway, so the very first birthday we're going to discuss is Tyson Barrie. His birthday is July 26th, and he will be 29. Now, there aren't a lot of July birthdays, so we're actually going to cover some hopeful Leaf players. Some Marlies have birthdays this month. So Igor Korshkov on July 10th, he's going to be 24. Joseph Dusjak, I don't know if I said his name right, he's a defenseman, July 22nd, he's also 23. Matt Laurito, and he's like somebody that we just got in February from the Islanders for Jordan Smoltz, so this is obviously a depth player. His birthday is July 3rd, so he's going to be celebrating this week. And of course, Joseph Woll, who is one of our young aspiring goalies. His birthday is July 12th, and he will be 22.
Yeah, I remember, actually, as I was looking at these birthdays, that one, that Matt Laurito, mm-hmm. I remember we were in our first show, I guess, we were talking about Jordan Schmaltz being like mm-hmm. The defense guy that could maybe make the
team. I know, and it just never happened.
Yeah, and then I didn't even know that he got traded in February. Like, it was just like, it just seemed crazy. I'm like, who is this Matt Laurito? I'm like, and then I look further. Oh, you mean Jordan Schmaltz is no longer with the Marlies? I'm like, okay.
I'm like, yeah, that's definitely one of those, you know, depth swaps and probably change of scenery swaps.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And then Joseph Woll, I thought, there's been a couple of articles actually on him because of our whole lack of depth with the goaltending position normally. Mm-hmm. So they talked about him quite a bit in The Athletic. There's been a couple of articles and just saying that he is actually expected to be on the taxi squad for mm-hmm. for this upcoming playoff/play-in rounds, I guess, because the teams are allowed up to 30 players on their rosters. So he's expected. Mm-hmm. And apparently for goalies, it's unlimited number of goalies that you can carry into this playoff.
Well, I guess that's because they don't want any e-bug situation. And you can't,
yeah.
you can't be swapping around people. Like you can't just bring people in because they're in this bubble. You can't bring outside people into the bubble. That's basically what it boils down to. So that's why they need to have this max number of players and goaltenders.
Yeah. And then he apparently had a rough season, Joseph Woll.
Yeah.
But the other young kid, these two goalies, we talked about them at the beginning of the season. They both of them are, Ian Scott is the other one. That's who I was mm-hmm. trying to think of the name, but he got a hip injury. I think he had to actually have surgery. He was out long-term, so Joseph Woll was the, and that Kaskasuo were the two mm-hmm. main goalies for the Marlies, but Woll had apparently had a bit of a rough season, but the management really liked him.
I think Kaskasuo is a free agent, too, I think, this year, too, so who knows if he'll be back or not.
Yeah, so
a lot of questions.
The management really seems to believe in this Joseph Woll kid with his work ethic and the mental side of the game. Apparently, he showed a lot of improvements. And he himself said too that that he's, I guess, what he saw in the game, how fast it was in comparison to what he's he's normally used to, and also just having the routine, basically, like to get into that routine, like he found it a little bit challenging. So yeah, I mean, he's going to be 22, so obviously that's very young for the goalie. So there's still lots of time for that. He proved himself a lot with the U.S. national team. So hopefully, eventually, he'll. You never know. He might be backing up Freddie one day, as long as we get Freddie.
Yeah,
signed. Yeah. Well, that's another thing.
I kind of feel like you know, when you're young like this and you have a bad year that challenges you in this way, it basically that it's all about how you bounce back from this, and that's kind of what we're going to see. You know, if he's able to kind of learn from this and grow. I mean, it's never a straight trajectory to stardom, right? So,
for sure.
He's going to have to pay his dues, and some of that is going to be, you know, challenges and adversity, and we'll see how he comes through.
Yeah. So next we're going to talk about the alumni birthday. So we're going to go from the current team to the past. Something that I like anyways. I enjoy talking about the alumni players. First of all, I actually didn't write this down because obviously we have a list of players here as to... And we can't cover everybody, obviously, in the alumni birthdays. There's lots of people, but we just took the ones that most people would, I guess, connect with or know the names. But we wish everyone a happy birthday. And one of them was, we'll say first, our former captain, Doug Gilmore, who it was June 25th. It was last week was his birthday. And I don't know if you saw... Syl made up this beautiful Instagram post, and you should really take the time to check it out because I thought it was great anyways. So have a look if you haven't already on Instagram. And even Dougie liked our post, so it must have been good.
Yeah, that was a real highlight of the day.
Yeah, yeah. But other notable alumni birthdays, George Armstrong. July the 6th, so it's coming up. He's going to be 90 years old. He's the longest serving captain in Maple Leaf history, 12 seasons.
Still going. Good for him.
And next I'll say Leonard Red Kelly is July the 9th. He passed away at 91. Most people know him because he won four cups with the Red Wings in the 50s, and then he was traded to the Leafs and won another four cups in the 60s. So that's really amazing. And actually, I don't know if I have this right, but I think with the Red Wings, he was a defenseman, but when he came, when he came to the Leafs, Punchimlak changed him into a forward.
He's one of the first ones to convert, like just like Wendell did that too.
Yeah.
He played D and then got converted to forward. So,
and then another player that's more of a connection with me from these, I go to an NHL alumni luncheon monthly, and his name is Pete Conacher. His birthday is July 29th. He's 88 years old, or he will be, and he only played 5 games for the Leafs, but he's such a kind guy, and he always saves me a seat at these alumni luncheons when I go. So... I just want to wish him a happy birthday, even though I know he's not listening because he doesn't know how to use the social media how to get a podcast. He doesn't know how to do that, but that's okay. I just want to wish him a happy birthday. And finally, Steve Stumpy Thomas. I think most of our listeners or quite a few would remember him. July 15th is his birthday, and he's going to be 57. So
he's one of those guys that was a Leaf on more than one occasion, and I don't know, for me he had so many. I'll just remember him for all of his highlight reel overtime goals. It was like basically him and Matt's back and forth for who was going to be the guy with the most overtime winners, And he definitely was one of those guys that could be counted on to finish.
Yeah, so. For sure. He was an exciting exciting player to watch.
Yeah. Yes. So we're going to do our league update, however it is. Normally, this is the time of year where we would be talking about free agents. And But this year is obviously going to be very different. So we are still looking at that return to play approval, and free agency now is pushed down the road and probably will be towards the end of October, possibly October 31st even. So we thought we'd take a little bit of a look at some notable Leaf free agent signings from past years. Gosh, like the Leafs were always, especially through the 90s, were always one of those teams that you could expect to get a guy probably towards the end of his career who wanted to don the jersey. But some of the ones that we felt had a pretty big impact were our Boyer Salming. He was signed in 1973. Curtis Joseph, signed in 1998. Ed Belfour in 2002. Gary Roberts in 2000, and then also Tyler Bozak in 2009. He's a free agent signing for out of the college system. So which do you feel had the biggest impact on this list? Like, obviously Salming had a huge impact, but anybody else there that you would say basically added a lot to the blue and white?
For me, it's Cujo, actually. Mm-hmm.
You stole mine.
Yeah? I wasn't sure if you'd choose the same one. Oh no. Yeah. Oh well.
That's okay. No, I got a backup. Actually, it was difficult looking at this whole list for me. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, no.
Say why you think Cujo.
Well, it was difficult. I mean, I was debating between him and Belfour, actually, both of them, but then And Bozak. Gary Roberts, he had an impact, but it was just too short of a time, and it was closer. I don't know. I didn't actually have him in there. I immediately knocked him out. But
did you?
Sorry.
That's who I was gonna say. That's actually my pick.
Oh really? Anyways, going back to Cujo, I don't want to take away from Cujo.
Go ahead.
He had he spent four seasons with us, and I don't know, I stretch back my memory sort of thing as to, because I remember when we got him, it was so weird because he was the goalie that was on St. Louis when we played him in the 93 playoffs on that magical run. And I don't know, but somehow when he came here, the connection just happened with him. Like we all loved him, and his stats were basically the same as Belfour, or close enough anyways. Mm-hmm. Belfour ended up having, before Freddie took the, I guess, the most wins. Now Freddie holds the record for most wins by a goaltender for the Leafs. I just think that, I don't know, we had more of a connection with Cujo than Belfour. I always remember Belfour, even when he was playing here. I always remember him as a Blackhawk, and he used to like swing that stick in front of the net. Like, he used to kill people or like players in front of the net when he was swinging the stick. I don't know. I just didn't have a connection. And
he has different personality type too. You know, like, he's definitely one of those more aloof, quirky kind of goalies. Cujo, I agree with you. Like, he seemed like the minute he put that jersey on, it felt like he was always here. Like, somehow he just felt like he should have always been a Leaf. And it's not a surprise that he's still involved with the team. You know, he does represent the Leafs out in the community at times. And he came out to Milton, actually, when they opened the Hero Burger here, and my kids have his autograph.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. And I guess, you know, maybe because he's from Keswick and stuff like that. He also has a great story of how his career started. He started at quite a late age. So everything about him, it's kind of got that Leaf lore sort of intertwined. So, Yeah, so that's why he would have been my pick.
So why were you going with Roberts, though? Or what were you?
You know what? I really just kind of felt like he was where we had Mats as our captain. I think that having him in the room helped make Mats a better captain, actually. I think that he was a real leader in the room. I remember the playoffs where he was here. He just had like a big impact. And I don't know, I guess part of it is that I like the type of player he is. He has that intensity and he's so smart. And yeah, so I did think that even though it was short, he did have an impact.
And then, but one thing I do want to mention just about Tyler Bozak, mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody out there saw, but the NHLPA is having some interviews with, it's called Sports Reporter. It's with Jerry mm-hmm. D, the Canadian actor.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So anyways, I've seen Jerry D before, but as you know, I'm not too, mm-hmm. well, Syl knows I'm not too into TV and actors and stuff like that.
He was Kyle Dubas' golf partner.
Yeah.
For his golf tournament with TSN against James Duthie.
Yeah. But but yeah, so anyways, he's doing these interviews with the NHLPA and they actually had Tyler Bozak, Naz Kadri, and and JVR.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Actually, I'm gonna look that up. That had to have been pretty good.
Oh, it was funny. I have to say to
I can't imagine.
To our listeners, if you haven't watched it, go. It's on YouTube now, I think, and it's just funny. They talk about obviously the time when they played together, and uh-huh. and they made some interesting comments. One thing that sticks in my mind, though, they said the funniest guy on the team was Phaneuf.
What?
Yes, all three of them right away. Oh, I can't believe that. I can't see him as being funny.
You know what? I guess I can in a way, because there's certain guys that in the media, when they think that they have to be a certain way, they have their social awkwardness kind of live on television. But, you know, with the guys in the room, I mean, that makes sense to me in a way because, you know, Brian Burke used to always say that he was the guy who came in and changed the music and all of that. Like, I think that his comfort level obviously was with his teammates, definitely not in front of the camera. So that is probably that I can see that probably is the case. And I bet you Phil Kessel was a close second.
Yeah, JVR mentioned him, but if you have a chance, check it out. It's only like 10, 12 minutes long, the interview anyways, and they just talk like which one is more superstitious, and
well, that has to be JVR.
Yeah, you're right there too. And the other thing is I forget how they put it, but which one like gets under the skin of people sort of thing, right? Like, or what player they feel gets under their skin sort of thing. And I thought for sure Marchand was going to come up like that. Mm-hmm. And I because both Bozak and JVR, they both started laughing when he asked the question because mm-hmm. they immediately all looked at Naz sort of thing, right? Because you can get underneath his skin and anyways, it was funny the way they talked about certain situations and that. So if you have a chance, check it out. And it was a fun thing to listen to. But we'll go on with our league update here, going on to the next thing. We actually had something to watch on Friday night on June 26th was the draft lottery. Yeah, everybody knows what the crazy outcome it was, the fact that mm-hmm. a placeholder team is basically going to get the top pick. So whoever gets knocked out of the teams in the play-in round, which includes our team, the Leafs. Mm-hmm. Whoever gets knocked out is basically going to have an equal chance, 12.5% chance to get that first pick, which is Alexi Lafreniere. And yeah, some people are really upset about it. Other people say it's great. It's something different. Personally, I really feel sorry for Steve Yzerman and the Red Wings because they were so horrible all year and they're in last place and they dropped down to fourth pick. And I don't know, I feel bad for them. I don't care about the Senators, obviously. I don't think a lot of fans, Leaf fans do. But for the Red, I don't know, it's, I kind of felt bad for Stevie Y there.
Well, I do and I don't. Like, I, you know, yeah, is it great for to fall down that low? Not really. But, you know, they were so great. Like, this is the thing. Like, they're not that far removed from making the playoffs every year for like 25 years. So really, how sorry should we be for them in that regard? The other thing that they have in their back pocket is Steve Yzerman. And I'm sorry, like, he did a lot with Tampa with not necessarily very high draft picks. So I'm really not that worried about them. I think they will be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. They got, like, having Yzerman there now, like, they're they're gonna do well. Like, he knows obviously how to like, that is building through the draft, and it's just gonna take them time. And like you said, I mean, they had 25 years of winning, so, and getting in, so you can't feel that bad about it. But but I mean, it was it was interesting. At least there was something to watch. Like, I watched it, and
It's probably not the most fair outcome, obviously, but was it drama filled? Yes. Are people talking about the NHL? Yes. And that is the whole goal of the whole thing. So, this is a very weird year and they need the eyeballs. There's a lot of competition because there's so much up in the air and no one really has anything concrete to say. So
the one thing is, too, going back to not feeling sorry for the Red Wings, this draft is very deep, apparently. Like, even like the I think it goes like the first like 12 players, like, however, like, they're all apparently like real NHL caliber players. So normally there's like a drop off after like five or six. You have a drop off to say the players are good, but you don't know for sure if they're going to like get into the NHL like this season. But apparently this group of players is like really, really good and could potentially all make it into the, like, in their first year. So,
yeah, I trust Stevie Y. He and his team are going to find a diamond.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And, next thing that we were going to talk about, we actually thought there was going to be some breaking news. Who knows? But
we were so hoping.
Yeah, for when it comes to the Hub City. Oh, my God. So, I don't know.
The story that will not go away and keeps on giving. Giving, actually, not much.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's sounds like Vegas is a lock. But then today I've been hearing, too, that it's like, Chicago is the U.S. team, and then Toronto is for the Canadian team.
But then I also heard that Edmonton, actually, there was a little bit more chatter about them today. So I really don't think that they have any idea.
Yeah.
The other part of the coin is that apparently, there's also quite a lot of talk amongst the players that a pretty big majority don't actually want to return to play.
Yeah.
They're concerned about, you know, they don't have enough details. They have not been given enough details, speaking about the players here, about how they're going to be guaranteeing safety and how this is all supposed to kind of, you know, work out. So a lot of players, no one's really speaking out because, as one person or one player supposedly said anonymously, is that, you know, hockey's not like other sports. Everyone will show up. But a lot of them, I think, are kind of concerned and are not sure that we really should be starting up again. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, Freddie, actually, That's one mm-hmm. positive. Before we get to the Leaf update, Freddie's back in town. He was on the media.
That's good.
Yeah, he was on a media availability today. And I also heard about that hesitation from the players. Mm-hmm. Most of them, like it was Carey Price, I heard. Artemi Panarin came out on Twitter and did a big thing, which was kind of shocking.
Yeah, but his was partly, because, his was like a financial thing too. And it was like about the escrow and all of that.
Yeah, and apparently a lot of people weren't very happy about him doing that.
Taking a cue from MLB.
Yeah, and then Stamkos, which I kind of understood Stamkos's, he did like a little emoji, like question kind of face sort of, because it was last week. It was last week or the week before, I guess, the league.
They had to shut their facility.
Yeah, and yeah, but they shut the facility because the COVID, increase in COVID numbers there. But the league itself had the other teams increase the number of players allowed to practice to 12. So he was kind of like, okay, you're increasing the number of players in the practice facility for everybody, but meanwhile, we have this COVID issue sort of thing, and it just didn't add up. Like, I could see why he had like the confused face on the Twitter. So yeah, and I think the other thing with the players is they're trying to do and the owners, obviously, they're trying to do an extension to the CBA at the same time, to the collective bargaining agreement, and that makes it even more complicated.
That's probably where the whole Panarin thing came into play, is because they know that that's going on, and he didn't want, probably, or a faction of players he's probably speaking for, didn't want those financial parameters to not be part of the speaking points in the media. Because right now, all we're talking about is this return to play, COVID, how they're gonna do these things safely, the hub cities, all of this stuff. But that normally, when they're negotiating something, those things would be out there. And that's probably where that comes from, is to make sure that that is out there, that it is a speaking point. So
one thing I don't buy, though, from the players is the fact that they said that a lot of players are saying like they're not being informed, or they're not getting all the information. And from what I understand from the media reports, the NHLPA, like basically when they have their calls for updates, every player of the 700 or how it's over 700 players in the league
has the ability to go on. Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously there's political, probably games behind the scenes that we don't know, but still you do have that option. If you don't, if your player rep on the team is not describing something to you, like that you don't get, or you don't feel comfortable asking about, you have the option to go on the call and find out more about it, sort of thing, right? So I don't know, that part of it I don't see as a issue. But Freddie was saying today, like you're saying, like there's still, the way he described it, I was just reading an article on it, it's like going down to the 11th hour now, and there's still quite a few things that they're trying to, I guess, figure out, and then it has to go to a vote too with the players. Right. So when it comes, especially with the CBA, it has to go with the to a vote. And I'm hearing that it's like a 60-40 split too.
How much of a majority do they have to have? Do you know that?
Oh, that would be enough. Apparently, like the 60%.
Oh, yeah.
Like that'll be enough to move forward with the return to play and whatever they agree to in the extension. So the current CBA, just for our listeners, just to make sure that they're aware, goes through to September 2022. So it's another, I guess we'd have all of next season.
Right. So this is what the current one goes to that right now. So they're trying to extend it. And I do believe part of it, the discussion involves the Olympics. So that's probably why. That's another part of the reason why they're negotiating it, because that will be part of that Olympic cycle.
Yeah.
The one after that, because that's 22. It will be in the, I think, in the winter, right? Because everything's going to be pushed.
Yeah. But I also heard with this that there's going to be no, in that CBA extension, that there's going to be, because of the economics, I guess, of the world, there's going to be no international hockey included in that CBA, like any terms for that. So, but who knows? I don't know. It's all up in the air. Hopefully they get this done soon, because it's, according to the NHL, like the dates that they've laid out, like July 10th is supposed to be the start of phase three. And it may be moved ahead a little bit to the 13th, I heard.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that they'd actually be able to pull it all together that fast, but I don't know.
We'll see.
Because especially too, like there's, you know, for example, we've got quite a few people, you know, in our phase two, but a lot of other teams don't. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but anyway, like let's talk a little bit about our team then and what's going on with them. So obviously the big news was broken by Steve Simmons about Austin Matthews apparently testing positive for COVID, which wouldn't be a real surprise because he was working out in Arizona and skating with players that weren't that were either part of the Coyotes, but also I think probably some university players as well. But obviously we all know that Arizona is a hotbed for COVID right now. That day that it broke, we actually happened to see him on a podcast.
It was actually
Rick Vive and Mike Wilson's podcast. And they were lucky enough to interview him that day. And literally after they did that recording, I think the news broke within like 15 minutes or something. So we watched it, and I do have to say that he did kind of look a little rough. I don't know if it was the lighting. He sounded a little rough. He looked a little rough. But overall, I would say if he was a little bit under the weather, it was just a little bit under the weather. So like a little bit of a bad cold or something. So
he seemed to be still, like his spirits were up. Like he was actually, there was some.
He really covered it up well, like I have to say.
Yeah.
You know, if you wouldn't have known, if that wasn't reported, you might not have known that he was a little under the weather. But having heard it already, you kind of could pay attention a little bit differently and look for some things. So anyway, but needless to say, I think he looked mostly healthy. So
yeah,
I don't think we have to worry too much. But yeah, you could, anybody else wants to check that out. It's, Squid and
it's Mike Wilson, the Ultimate Leaf fan.
Ultimate Leaf fan.
Yeah. Squid. Yeah. So now we're just going to talk a little bit about the guys that are actually here on the ice and, they're back on the ice. And, so they, like we said last month, they're allowed, I guess, in groups of six. And as of June 22nd, that was when the NHL increased the number of players to be allowed in the facilities up to 12 players at one time, with the exception of Tampa, as we were talking about.
And that's not mandatory. So, like, they can go up to that number, but they don't have to be in those groups. So,
yeah. And actually, it's interesting when you say it's not mandatory. I think Sheldon Keefe might be sending little messages to some players, because I heard on Mitch Marner's interview. So a lot of the key guys have had interviews with the media over Zoom or whatever. And Marner, he was the only one that actually mentioned that the coach had sent him some tape of Columbus, like of the Blue Jackets, and pointing out certain things. And I thought, should you actually
be good?
Yeah, I said, well, at least you're up on, like, you're getting up on it, and the, and I don't know how it came up, I forget how it came up, but I thought to myself, should you actually be saying that, because the coaches aren't supposed to be involved right now at this stage, right? Yeah. But,
maybe not involved on the ice, but that doesn't mean that they can't communicate with their players, and if he's already pre-scouting them, I mean, okay, if anybody ever thought that Sheldon Keefe was not serious, I think that has been put to rest.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's super serious and does not stop. This is like what he does in his spare time, apparently. So that's good.
Yeah, no, we need that. I heard about Sheldon Keefe. He's basically been watching tape all the time, basically, like of at first with just his own team and the players. And then now that he actually knows the obviously the playoff round opponent, he's gone further into analyzing their opponent's game. So yeah, so just getting into the groups that our team has been skating together, as far as we know, for the groups of six. The first one that we came up was Hyman with Kerfoot and Nylander as the forward line, Riley and Dermott on defense, and Joseph Woll was in goal. So Kerfoot apparently was taking the place of Matthews on that line.
Right.
And because Matthews is still in Arizona, like we just discussed, which personally I think he should have came a lot sooner than everything, but that's another story for another day. Second line was Mikheyev with Tavares and Marner. And it was on defense, it was CeCe and Muzzin, and Jack Campbell was in goal. And then there was Kyle Clifford with Spezza and Kapanen, and Callie Rosen was the defenseman. And then there was Rasmus Sandin, who came in from Stockholm on June 18th. Tyson Barrie was supposed to come in on June 22nd. And then Anderson was in California, but thankfully about a week or so ago, he came back. So he's here in town now. He's serving his quarantine time, I guess. I think this week will probably be his second half of his 14 days. And Matthews is still in Arizona. As to where of the other players that are normally, that I could think of anyways, that were missing from this list of players were Justin Hall, Engvall, and Frederick Gauthier. Nobody's really mentioned them, so I'm not really sure where they are. I mean, Justin Hall was doing some trivia games and stuff like that with the players on the Leafs app. I was watching a few of those before. I think he was in Minnesota, but I don't know. I don't know where he is now. No one's really mentioned it. And just as of today, like I said, it's just Freddie's back now, so he'll be able to get on the ice with these guys. And I mean, it's kind of hard because the media isn't allowed in the facility to say that you could actually get a report. They all look like they were having fun just from the few clips. Obviously that's what they do, right? This is their living. They like they love being on the ice. The two people that I thought that were most excited, or three I guess, were Hyman, Riley, and Tavares, like on their interviews. I don't know, they were especially Riley, I guess, like he just seemed like ready to go. And he's just, I think it's because too, he missed basically so much time.
I was gonna say,
and he came back
off.
Yeah.
And then everything stopped.
Yeah. So he came back for one game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that's basically it from our side. I mean, from our team side, we're hopefully, like we said, on July 10th or 13th, as long as everything still progresses along and it moves on to phase three, then we'll get more of an idea as to where these guys are at with their timing and conditioning, that sort of thing.
I would think that if their plans are to reopen in 2 weeks, that we should be anticipating everybody else returning this week, because they're going to have to basically do their 14 days. So. That's why it's like still, I guess, a little bit up in the air as far as that all goes. But anyway, could take a little bit of a look ahead though at Columbus. Seeing as they're going to be our first round or play-in round, I should say, matchup in our first pseudo playoff round.
Yeah.
Really, this year they were missing like over half of their team. They had a lot of injuries during the regular season. They hardly have anybody in-house right now for phase two. only 9 players have been skating during this optional phase. So basically, we're going to look at what their regular season lineups normally are. So they have Nick Foligno with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Oliver Bjorkstrand.
It's Bjorkstrand. I actually heard of Bjorkstrand. Even though he was injured.
He's coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Second line, Nyquist, Boone Jenner, and Cam Atkinson, also returning from injury. Third, Alexander
Texier.
Yeah. Alexander Wenberg, and Emil Bernstrom. And fourth line, Liam Foudy, Riley Nash, and Eric Robinson. So we've still got Werenski and Jones for first D pair. Seth Jones, that is, returning from injury. The second pair is Gavrikov and Savard. Third pair, Marcus Nudivara and Ryan Murray. And in goal, we've got 2 unproven guys. God, these names are really difficult. Yeah. Jonas Corposalo and Elvis Merzlikins. Merzlikins.
Yes, I think that's what it is. I'd never heard of him, actually, until...
I've heard of him, but and I've been practicing his name a few times, and I still can't get it right. Anyway, they still have a few outstanding injuries, just like we do. Josh Anderson is still out with a shoulder. Not sure on the status. And... I don't know. Like, what are the players? Do you think that to watch in this lineup?
It's funny when you're going through that. I'm thinking to myself, they have no chance. Like, I'm like the only player that's...
Well, because there's so many guys that are like unproven.
Yeah.
On this team,
the only guys that I worry about are that Dubois, Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, he's an excellent player, and. Even that Cam Atkinson, for some reason, I remember us having trouble with him.
He's actually really good.
Yeah.
But you know who I actually worry about is that Boone Jenner guy. For some reason, he's kind of a bit of a leaf killer. Like when we play him, he's usually contributing. So
yeah.
He's one of those guys that kind of is kind of got a little bit of an edge to him too. And yeah. And obviously, getting Seth Jones back, that's another huge
piece. Oh, that's going to be huge. Yeah.
That's actually, their first D pair is quite excellent.
Yeah, it's legit, what it is.
Definitely. Yeah. That's a good word. Legit.
Legit.
It's a legit first D pairing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the case there. I mean, I don't know if there's any advantage at this point, to say if there's any advantage that we have, because a lot of our players, like quite a few of them, stayed here and they've been now have been practicing together for the few weeks. As opposed to Columbus, who, I mean, few of their players were still recuperating from it being in injured reserve, and other players, I guess they just went to Europe or wherever they were from, sort of thing. And so they had only 9 players in this phase 2 skating. Right. So
hard to say though, like not knowing what these other players that are not in house right now have been up to. Like, so that's the thing. It's like they're not here, so one could assume that they might not be as together, but. But we don't know what they've been doing on their own either, right? So who they've been working with, if being, you know, not in North America, if they've had opportunity to do more things because Europe kind of opened a little bit earlier. So it's hard to say, you know?
Yeah, the one big thing for that lineup, the one big positive is that they have John Tortorella as the coach.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking too. Yeah. Is that if we think Sheldon Keefe is serious, I'm pretty sure Torts is serious.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, for sure. And then that Josh Anderson. I mean, he's even been mentioned in trade rumors for coming here because he's the guy last year versus Tampa that basically drove them crazy, apparently. He gets under the skin of everybody. He manages to come back from the shoulder injury, he could be a force, basically, for them. But I've also heard, though, with him that because he's in his contract year now, I don't know if he's going to be a free agent or restricted free agent. I'm not sure. But I also heard he's not really wanting to come back to Columbus. I think that's what I've heard. So
interesting.
You kind of wonder if that's the case. Who knows if he's going to want to come back anyways from the shoulder injury. Maybe he'll just stay out if he doesn't feel a part of the team, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be kind of like what's sort of happening in the NBA. There's a lot of guys that are long-term injury that are just not going to push it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's also not the best case scenario either, because there is potential for injury. You're coming off of an unprecedented thing where it's all not routine, right? So it's a little bit scary, I guess, that way, because you don't know how prepared your body's really going to be, because you haven't been able to prepare it the way you normally do.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. And then there's obviously the whole COVID thing, everything on top.
Yeah.
Of all, right.
Oh, so, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. But so we're looking forward to, I guess, coming up, hopefully the NHL will be moving forward into phase 3 sometime in mid-July. Safely.
Hopefully safely.
And meaning that we'll have a lot more hockey-related talk in our next episode coming up at the for August. And we actually have a little surprise in August. We're not going to say anything, but it's coming up to our one-year anniversary, so we'll have a little surprise for you, so make sure you
stay tuned.
Yes. And
listen to our August episode for sure, because there will be something special for you.
Yeah, and so we're giving you advantage because you're listening to the July episode, that you're actually listening and getting the heads up on it. So as always, we want to thank you for listening, and give us your feedback however you choose, whether by email, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, our handles at LTL1917, and go Leafs go.